In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the children have been out of school now for a little over a week. They don't go back till Thursday for another few days anyway. And the rest of us have been out so long we can scarcely remember. So, it's time for a refresher. As we wrap up this year's end, and as we turn the page into the next month and year in my Google Calendar, we're going to do things a little bit different today in the sermon. We're going to cover most areas of education, from music all the way to history, from math to science, and of course my favorite, English grammar, a personal favorite. And if we're lucky, we might even learn a few foreign languages, such as Latin and Hebrew today. But in the end, we're going to show you how theology is actually what it once was proclaimed to be. The queen of all sciences, the thing that everything runs to for the proclamation of God in the flesh, Christ crucified and risen, that permeates everything and every one of these subjects. Why do this? First of all, because we can. The gospel reading is only one verse. Hence, we can consider it in all of its fullness. That is to say, we can unpack the gospel reading for all it is worth. And secondly, because it's true. All of it. All learning, all education, all arts and sciences and literature and reality run through and through with God for you. Ultimately, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. It is the goal of all education that we may understand that gospel proclamation. And so theology isn't just for pastors. No. It's for you and all of creation to sing the excellencies of God who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation. So, let's begin. Let's begin with music. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Now let's add a little bit of mathematics. How many notes did I sing? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, to do. Eight notes. It's what musicians call an octave. In the Latin, octava, which means eight. In math, we learn that an octagon has eight sides, hence octava. We also learn as children that an octopus has eight tentacles, eight legs, eight feet. Hence an octave, eight notes. Do to do. It includes the same note twice, yes, but you might say on another level. It's kicked up a notch. In musical terms, an octave. And that, my dear saints, is where theology gets rich. You see, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so on and so forth. And on the seventh day, on Saturday, God rested from all of his labors, all the things that he had made. Now, in the spirit of octaves, what number is the next day? Yeah, it's the first day of the week, and that we start counting over again. But then again, you know that the first day of the week is not like this last week was. It's not the same day. And so, there's a little bit of difference to that day. Last week, we gathered here in darkness, didn't we? We gathered here in the darkness of candles and shepherds and angels, and we sang, Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. We rejoice with the angels as the heaven was ripped open. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, hark the herald, angels sing. But this week is 8 days later. And this week, 8 days later, there's no silent night. There's no joy to the world. There's no innkeepers, there's no shepherds, there's no angels. Just a baby. Just a baby, his circumcision, and his naming. It's a different week. It's a new first day. It's a new day of creation. It's the new beginning. It's the eighth day. And liturgically, that is how our church year runs. If you haven't thought about it, if you didn't know that, from feast to feast, from Sunday to Sunday, from resurrection to resurrection, from new life to new life, from new creation to new creation, from the new first day to the new first day. And now our text. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus, who is 8 days old, does what all 8 day old Israelite boys do. He gets circumcised. He enters into the sign of the covenant. He becomes one with Israel. This is the first cutting of Jesus' flesh. This is the first shedding of the blood that flows from his body in order to fulfill the law as according to what was given by Moses. And guess when it happened? Altava, the eighth day. But more than that, this eighth day also comes with a gift. And the gift is this, a name. St. Luke has been very, very, very careful in the story of Jesus' birth. In our Christmas readings last week, you heard it all. You heard what you remember, right? You heard that while Quirinius was governor of Syria, all went to their own town to be registered, and Joseph went with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And this child is born and a savior. But did you notice that the child is never named? Luke never gives the name of the child in his birth narrative. It's not until verse 21. It's not until the eighth day. Why? Because a name comes with circumcision. In Israel, there was no Google a list of names till we find the perfect name for our child. We have 9 months to figure this out and what it should be named. There was no ankle bracelets. There was no social security cards or anything like that. The name was the identity. And the identity and name went together on the eighth day. And so in the Old Testament, the name of God actually meant the presence of God. Hence, the name of God was put in the temple where God had promised to be. Wherever his name was, there was God. And so to call upon the name of the Lord meant to enter into his presence. That's how we begin our service, isn't it? With the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrew, the name of God is simply this: I am who I am. That's what happened to Moses. It's what Moses was given there in the burning bush on Sinai when he took off his sandals for he was standing on holy ground. That burning bush said, I am who I am. And in Hebrew, Yahweh. That's the name, Yahweh, that's given. Anytime you run across that in your Bibles, right? If you're reading your Bible and it has a capital L-O-R-D, Lord, it's not just Lord, it's that intimate personal name of God, Yahweh. So on the eighth day, when the Christ child was circumcised, he was also named. And the name given was this, Jesus. In Hebrew, it actually is Yeshua. We might call it Joshua. Yasha is the Hebrew word meaning to save. And Ah is the ending for God's name, Yahweh. So Jesus' name literally means Yahweh saves. Hence Matthew tells us in the gospel when the angel Gabriel actually appears to Joseph in the dream, he says, she will bear a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yahweh, the Lord saves Jesus. That's your Hebrew lesson, by the way. So, now we have the name of God. We have the circumcision and the eighth day. So what's the point? What's the point of all of this? The point is that this Jesus, who is Yahweh himself, God in the flesh, the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, this God in the flesh does everything for you. He did not need to take on human flesh. But because you and I corrupted His good creation, because Adam and Eve stretched out their hand and ate from the tree of knowledge in disobedience, and because you and I have been sinning ever since, and we are corrupted in our sins, because of our covetousness, because of our sexual immorality, because of our greed, because of our theft, because of our idolatry, because of our envy and anger and gluttony and murder and wickedness and deceit and slander and pride and pain and suffering and guilt and misery, because of all of that, He took on flesh. He chose to do it for you. He had no need to be circumcised. He's already the Son of the living God. But because you don't obey the law perfectly, because even though you try, you mess it up badly every week. You sin and you are not perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus chose to obey the law perfectly for you. Even down to the letter of going to be circumcised according to the law of Moses on the eighth day. He chose to enter that covenant of blood for you. He had no need for the eighth day of new creation. But because the wages of sin is death, He is in the flesh. God is in the flesh recreating His creation by bringing a new life into this world. Jesus didn't need to shed any blood. Either as an infant on the eighth day or there upon the holy cross. But He did it. He chose to do it for you. To pay for your sins, not with gold, not with silver, but with His holy, precious blood. And because of that cross, because of the shedding of the blood, here in the circumcision, there on the cross, and ultimately His resurrection from the tomb, you, my dear saints, have been given a new day. An eighth day. A new name and a new life. Your eighth day is found, get this, in your baptism. If you've been in life in Christ, and some of the saints of Emmanuel had asked me to do this in the sermon sometime. If you're in life in Christ, then you know that a baptismal font traditionally has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 octava, 8 sides. Paul says, in Him you were circumcised, not with a circumcision made without hands, but a putting off of the body of flesh, a circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, you were raised with Him through faith by the power of God working in Him who raised Him from the dead. Your circumcision was on the eighth day, when you were baptized into the name of the living God, the cutting off of your sinful laden heart, a circumcision performed not with a scalpel and not by a loss of blood, but by the holy word of God. It is done by the waters of holy baptism. There you are joined to Christ. There is the flood that lavishes away all sin and a washing away of sin. Peter says that this baptism now saves you, and it harkens back to the flood. Do you remember by chance how many people? Here's your history lesson, by the way. Do you remember how many people were saved in the flood that day? Noah and his family. 8 souls in all. A new creation. A new first day, there in Octava, the waters of baptism on the eighth day given to you. There you entered into Christ. Your life in Christ began only to never end. There you received the mercy of God. There you received the salvation of Jesus Christ. There you were buried with Him and raised with Him in His resurrection. And if it hadn't occurred to you yet, if you're wondering, what day did the resurrection happen? Sunday. So let's try this. Good Friday. Holy Saturday. Easter Sunday. Octava. 8. A new beginning. A resurrection. A new creation. A new life begins. So yes, one calendar year for us is closing this New Year's Eve. It's coming to an end. And we remember days gone by, good, bad, and thereof, But just remember this. No matter what happens in 2018, no matter how quickly or slowly the year passes, just remember that the church's calendar has no end. It is eternal life from one day to the next. Always in octave, always in octava, from do to do, from eighth day to eighth day, from Sunday to Sunday, from resurrection to resurrection, all the way from earth below until that great and glorious day when by the sound of the trumpet we join in that marriage feast of the Lamb in the final octava, the eighth day, when we are raised in glory, raised to perfection and seated with Christ in His glory to heaven above. And all of this comes because an infant child is circumcised and named Jesus on the eighth day. The God who sheds His blood for us, who puts His name on you in the waters of baptism and clothes you in that blood, that robe of Christ's righteousness, now saves you this day from your sins. Thanks be to God. Amen.